Mark chapter 3, I want to continue what I began this morning, and I want to read again so that you won't forget, and so that when you meet with your Catholic friends, you'll know what those that are authorities among them say concerning the Virgin Mary. So I'll read it to you again. Remember 1852 by Saint Alfonso de Liguori. That's his name. And this is what he says about Mary. And then in the will of God, I will read you the other scriptures and what they say about Mary indirectly. Some scriptures speak directly about her and some speak indirectly about her. And so, let's hear this again. The glories of Mary. Saint Mary, Queen of Mercy, Mother of all mankind, our life, protectress in death, the hope of all, our only refuge, help, and asylum, the propitiatory of the whole world, the one city of refuge, the comfortress of the whole world, the refuge of the unfortunate, our patroness, queen of heaven and hell, our protectress from the divine justice and from the devil, the ladder of paradise, the gate of heaven, the mediatrix of grace, the dispenser of all graces, the helper of the redemption, the cooperator in our justification, a tender advocate, omnipotent, the singular refuge of the lost, the great peacemaker, the throne prepared in mercy, the way of salvation, the mediatrix of angels. In short, she is the way, the door, the mediator, the intercessor, the advocate, the redeemer, the savior. Now, who would ever consider that such a thing was spoken of about Mary? But it was, and it is, and this is what millions in the world believe about her. But now, let's see just what the scripture says. We'll read a few scriptures. First of all, Mark chapter 3. We've read from the Word of Man. Now, let's read from the Word of God. First, Mark 3. And look at verse 20. And he cometh into a house, and the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. I mention this verse because the word his friends can also mean his relatives. It may include those of whom I told you this morning, when we'll see in this next portion when we read about Mary directly. Now, turn to chapter 6. Chapter 6. And verse 2. And when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, whence hath this man these things, and what is the wisdom that is given unto this man? And what mean such mighty works wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended in him. Now listen to what our Savior says. And Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. This is what the Savior says concerning himself, that he being a prophet is not exempt from what is said concerning all the prophets. All right, now turn to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. And look at verse 46. While he was yet speaking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, seeking to speak to him. And one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, seeking to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And look at verse 27. And it came to pass, as he said these things, a certain woman out of the multitude lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the breasts which thou didst suck. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God, and keep it. And one other verse that is similar to it, look in chapter 14. Chapter 14. Verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. But he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. And look at verse 24. For I say unto you that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful at the marvels that you can do with the children of men, the minds that you've given them, but at the same time, we marvel also at how these minds can be perverted, corrupted, can be dealt with in such a way that the truth that comes from the light of the Word of God can be distorted, can be blocked out completely, and the eye, which should be single, has become evil. And the Savior said, If your eye be evil, how great is that evil? The light of the body is the eye, but if that eye be diseased, how great is the darkness that you've given us eyes with which to see? And so we pray, our God, that we shall understand from the light, because you've told us, In thy light shall we see light, and that is what we desire to see. And so, our God, as we have the Scriptures shining upon us, let us see what they would have us to see and not make them mean anything that your Spirit would not have us to make them mean. And so we thank you for the scriptures that we've read this night. We thank you also for the testimony given from one who is called a saint among those that claim faith in Christ. And we pray that we shall see the difference between what man says of one who is highly favored even by you, and what the Word of God says concerning her, and what men say concerning your Son himself. So let us be grounded in things concerning Christ and concerning Mary and concerning the voices of men. We thank you for the blessings of this day, and we look to thee again for another blessing this night. We pray that we shall not be disappointed. Feed thy lambs and thy sheep. And now we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. When you think of the scriptures that I read to you tonight, in one sense, they are such strange scriptures in the light of what we know for sure about the Lord Jesus and the Virgin Mary. Because had I read you other scriptures about our Savior, this is what you would have heard. When our Savior finished the discourse, they said, "Never man spake like that man." And yet, here, in the first scripture I read you, it says that on one occasion, when the Lord Jesus was engaged in his activities, he was so busy and the crowds were so great that he could not be approached and they had no time to eat. And it says that his friends came and they wanted to do two things. They wanted to explain about his behavior, and it says they wanted to lay hold on him. Now, isn't that a remarkable thing? Just think, here is God's voice from heaven, and those that are close to him. I told you that the words that are translated, his friends, could be translated his relatives. Here are those that are intimately associated with him, and it says that they come to lay hold on him, and they want to make an apology for him for what he's doing. And they say, he is beside himself. We could translate these words, he is out of his mind. Isn't that a sad thing? That the one who is speaking the very words of God, others are not able to understand the way he's going about doing his Father's business. And yet he said, I do always those things that are pleasing to my Father. But the very things that are pleasing to his Father are so upsetting to his friends and his relatives that they go to lay hold on him and they go to give explanations of his behavior. Now, it may be because they had good thoughts in mind. It may be that they thought that his enemies, when he's doing what he is, and when he's talking so frankly and openly the way that he does, they think that they are going to lay hold on him and harm him physically. And so they have to go and make excuses for him, and they have to restrain him, and they have to do with him in a similar way the thing that Peter did when our Savior announced that he was going to the cross to be crucified and to be raised the third day. And it says, and think of the presumption of this one who is the chief apostle of the Roman Catholic Church. It said that Peter took him aside and said, Lord, be it far from thee. This shall never be unto thee. You see how throughout our Lord's life, those that are near him are going to tell him what to say and how to direct his course of action that the Father has told him from heaven. And this is what is so frightening. That the same man who, when the Savior said, "Whom do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Savior said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." You say, well then, this man is speaking infallibly. He can never say anything wrong about our Savior. He can never give him any advice that is not acceptable. But the Lord Jesus, when he heard Peter tell him what he did, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man." And it may very well be, and this is what hurt me, when I have read and we have sung the words of Saint Bernard, "Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast, but greater still thy face to see." And the hymn is a beautiful hymn about the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet Saint Bernard is one who would give all of these glories to Mary, like this one that I told you, Saint Alfonso. He would say concerning Mary, to a similar degree, the same things that Saint Bernard did. What does it mean? It means that out of the same mouth can come things both glorious, honoring to our Savior, and at the same time can come forth things that are erroneous and are of the devil himself. Because Peter, that chief apostle to so many in the world, he was one who spoke both things of God and things of Satan. And so for that reason, I have read you verses of Scripture, and whereas men speak erroneously concerning Christ, yet the Lord Jesus, when he speaks, never speaks erroneously concerning men. And he understood man. He knew what was in man. And so for that reason it said, he committed himself to no man. He knew what was in man. And so it took Christ by no surprise when they would say glorious things about him one day and derogatory things about him the next day. And so the Lord Jesus hears what they say, and when he hears that his friends are coming to lay hold on him, if he ever hears about what they are attempting to do, he will understand that it is simply that a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house, and among his own kin. And the Savior said concerning some in the future, not his own, but it said, the time will come when they that kill you will think that they are doing God a service. So this is why we must constantly stay in the bounds of the Word of God and never step outside those bounds. If a man makes a comment concerning our Savior, I want to see if what he says is verified by the Word of God. And no matter what he says, whether it is good or whether it is bad, I want to see whether it is contained in the Word of God. Because I've heard some say things concerning our Savior that are good things, but they are things that are not true. They make him more than God his Father made him. He is God manifest in the flesh. But some would take away his humanity completely, and they would only say, this is God. Do not say he's God manifest in the flesh. I want you to understand that his humanity was divine as well. But God has never said that concerning his Son. And so when a person tells you things about Christ, you must understand that God must verify those things that men say about Christ, no matter how good they sound and no matter how high they want to exalt him. You have to understand. Now, also, when people say things concerning Mary, the Virgin, you have to take what they say and evaluate it in the light of what the Scripture directly says about Mary, what angels say about her, and what relatives say about her, and what neighbors say about her. I told you about that. Gabriel had things to say about Mary, and Elizabeth, the kinsman of Mary, had things to say about Mary, and I told you that the neighbors of Mary had things to say about Mary. And what was so remarkable, and it caused my heart to rejoice when I saw it, because the estimate that they had of this woman, who is the wife of a carpenter that's living among them, what do you say concerning this woman? They say, is not Mary his mother? That's all they say concerning her. They did not call her the Blessed Virgin Mary. They did not call her the Mother of the Lord. All they said concerning her is she is just Mary, and she is the mother of Jesus, and she is the husband of Joseph, and the occupation of father and son. Why, they are carpenters. A remarkable thing. So you have to weigh everything that men say, and then you have to see what people say without thinking, indirectly, and then you know what they actually thought of Mary. What was Mary in her lifetime among her neighbors? She is simply Mary. That's all they said. Now, they marveled that this one who was born of Mary was able to do and speak the great things that he did, but still, because a prophet is not without honor save in his own country, they rejected our Savior, and they were caused to stumble, and it said Jesus could not do many things there because of their unbelief. So listen carefully to what they say about Jesus, and you'll get a candid opinion of what they think of him and of his mother, but do not add to it nor take away from it. Now, here was something that was most strange. I tell you again that three times we have it recorded that Jesus spoke to his mother, but he never called her his mother. We have things concerning Joseph, but it never has Jesus calling Joseph his father. When Mary said, "Your father and I sought you sorrowing," Jesus said, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And so Mary said, "Your father." And the Lord Jesus said, "My father is in heaven, and I must be about his business." At that age, he knew who his father was, and he knew also his relationship with his mother. But until he was 30 years of age, and thank God for this, he went down to Nazareth, and it said he was subject to his parents. So that is the marvel. And this is what God tells us about the Lord Jesus. But now, the Lord Jesus, when he spoke to his parents at 12, he spoke to them next recorded in the Bible when he was 30 years of age. And when his mother came and told him that they had no wine, he said this, "What have I to do with thee, woman? My time is not yet come." I would have thought that he would have said, "Mother," but he called her woman. And when he was 33 years of age, when he was hanging on the cross, and he was speaking of his mother, he said, "Woman, behold thy son," John the beloved apostle. And he said to John, "John, you behold your mother." A remarkable thing. I thought certainly on one of these occasions Jesus would speak of her as his mother, but he speaks of her as a woman, simply someone who is able to bring forth children. I mentioned that. But now, let's see if later on, when this mother that is given so many exalted titles and descriptions and honors by Liguori. Let's see if the Lord Jesus will verify anything that he has said. I told you that not one of the things I read to you from him is found in the Bible. Not one. And yet, they are what are spoken concerning Mary. But now, let's see if the Lord Jesus, though himself, would not give her any exalted name or place or privileges. Let's see when others speak of her, what he does. Our Savior is in the house, and he is surrounded by multitudes. This happened so often, and people could not get to him. On one occasion, the woman with an issue of blood, she finally was able to get near him and touch the hem of his garment. But in this case, the Lord Jesus is in the house, and there are so many people surrounding him. His mother and his brethren come, and they can't get to him. And so they send him a message. It would be something like this. Here is someone way on the outside, and they would say, "Please tell Jesus that we want to see him. I am his mother, and we are his brothers. Tell Jesus we want to see him, and we want to speak to him." And so one way on the outskirts would tell him, and then tell another, and another, and another, until finally, one that is very close to Jesus says this, "Your mother and your brethren are without, and they want to speak to you." Isn't that a remarkable thing? I recall when two queens approached their sons, approached their husband. I remember when Esther did, and she was afraid, but when Esther came, the king held out his scepter to her. And when Solomon was approached by his mother, he said, "Bring a seat. Let the queen sit here next to me." He exalted his mother. And so here, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, this woman who has all of these titles that I read to you, wants to speak to her son. And the Lord Jesus disregards her request, and he says to those that spoke to him, "Who is my mother, and who are my brethren?" And he extended his hand, and he said, "Those that hear the word of God and do the will of God, the same is my mother and my brethren." Is that a remarkable thing? No acceptance of that, even though she is his mother. He gives us a lesson that is of such great importance that, like the man who heard him preach about the kingdom of God, he said, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." He makes that statement. And so here is a man that thinks that because of physical relationships, certain blessings must naturally flow. And so here are those that are telling Jesus, "Your mother and your brethren want to talk to you." The Lord Jesus is having them to understand that there are two families associated with him. There are those that are associated with him according to the flesh, and there are those that are associated with him according to the Spirit. Those that have been born into the family of God. And he says, and this is what is so profound, that the ones that are kin to him spiritually are of greater importance than those that are associated with him physically. Yes, Mary is his mother, according to the flesh. Yes, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas are his half-brothers, according to the flesh. But the Lord Jesus says, this means nothing. You must understand that it says in John chapter 7, his brethren did not believe on him. And had his brethren, according to the flesh, his half-brothers, had they not believed on him, as they were not believing in John 7, had they died at that time, they would have perished, even though when they went to heaven and tried to get in, and they stood before the Lord Jesus, and they were looking at their half-brother, he would not admit them into heaven. But the Lord Jesus is looking to all of his disciples that are around him, and he said, the ones that hear the word of God and do the word of God and carry out the will of God, the same as my mother and my brothers and my sisters. What does that mean? It means this, that nobody can ever be the mother of the Lord Jesus physically except one. That nobody except these four brothers that I mentioned can be the brothers of the Lord Jesus save those. But spiritually, all of those who are women and men can be his mother and his brothers and his sisters. Thank God for that. Because here are some who would say, oh, if I could only have been the mother of Jesus. Oh, if I could only have been a brother of Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, if you were that, it does not mean that you would enter the kingdom of God. How remarkable. You see, not that which is born of the flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit. You must be born again. And the Lord Jesus, while not insulting his mother, not being disrespectful to his mother, he puts her in the place that God, his Father, would have her to be placed in. Yes, she is the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of the Lord. But that does not mean that God is going to take her to heaven because of that. She is going to go to heaven because she has believed the message that God gave and because she speaks of God, my Savior. Not because of what she has done for God in bringing the child Jesus into the world, but because it says this, and this is the testimony of Elizabeth concerning her. Elizabeth says, blessed is she, and that's Mary, blessed is she that believed. Do you remember that in Genesis 15, God told Abraham, look and count the stars of heaven if you can, and this is going to be your offspring. It says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. And God said to Mary, you're going to bring forth a son miraculously. And Elizabeth says, blessed is she that believed. And so Abraham was a believer in the staggering promises of God, and Mary was a believer in the staggering promises of God. And so, when people say, your brethren and your mother are standing without and they want to see you and talk to you, Jesus says, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Those that know the will of God and do it. And this, there was a woman who heard the Lord Jesus speak, and she was so greatly impressed that she said, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the breast that thou didst suck. Now, could not the Lord Jesus have said, yes, my mother was a good mother, and I'm so thankful for bringing me into the world and nourishing me in my childhood? But he says, yea, rather, blessed are they that do the will of God, that hear the word of God and do it. Now, here is one who has done a service to the world that no one else could do. And the woman is simply saying, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the breast that thou didst suck. And the Lord Jesus said, yea, rather, blessed are they that do the will of God, that hear his word, that obey his word. Now, tell me, in the light of what the scriptures say and the Lord Jesus say concerning Mary, what place should we give her? She is the most blessed among women. There's no one that can be compared to her. God chose her to be the mother of our Lord. And at the same time, she is highly favored. And yet at the same time, she is a woman among women, one that God has used to bring blessing to mankind. But give her no place like those that some give her. Give her the place that the Father and the Son give her. And that is the place that we should give her. Time is gone. Let us pray. And Father, we thank you for the Virgin Mary. Indeed, she is blessed among women. We are thankful, our God, that indeed she was the one of whom Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the Lord. We acknowledge all of this and we thank you for her. But we are thankful, and our God, this is that which causes us astonishment, that you have said that though we have no physical relationship to Jesus, as his brothers and his mother did, yet if we are born into the family of God, these are those and the family that counts, and the ones that shall sit down with the Lord Jesus in the kingdom and dine with him. Our God, we thank you for your thoughts. Your thoughts are not our thoughts, and so let our thoughts be your thoughts. Give us a true evaluation of woman and of man and of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.